my time right now. They want to send me back to my country, which I have no idea what's about. And you're just sad right now because I'm just living day by day. Just hopefully the law would change because it's just so unfair because I have no idea what House Camborans is. All I know is it's a third world country now because they starting to receive people back to our country, my country, back where I was born at. But with me, I can't really speak the language. Don't all my family's in America here. How are you going to just send me back to my country I have no idea about?
Let's just start a little bit from the beginning. So could you, I want to make it, I have to use your exact speech. So
okay.
Could you tell me your name and then how old you are and then where you are from?
Okay.
And how old were you when you first came?
Okay, my name is Andrew T. I am 29 years old. I am from Cambodia. That's where I was born at, Buttonborn, Cambodia, and I came to America in September 81.
And why did you come to America?
I came to America because I'm part of the refugee camp, because they accepted us here because what America has done to our country, so they accept some people because of what they did to our country. So I'm like a refugee.
Please do not make any noise.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
And did you come with your family as a refugee?
Yes. All my family came. My mom, my dad, and my four sisters. We all got to America in September 81 as a family.
And could you tell me a little bit more specific about why you become refugee? You said, could you tell me about your country?
Because... Back in the early 75s, the war was going on. I mean, it wasn't safe for us to stay in my country, so we fled to the refugee camp in Thailand. And as we're in the refugee camp in Thailand, we wait to be called. So we come to America to be in a safety land, which thank God that America has accepted us because being in Cambodia it was a way to live because all the war was going on. People was dying left and right. People walking around, walking on mine bombs. It's just a danger hazard anywhere you go. It's everybody carrying guns around there, and that's why we just had to escape from Cambodia and find our way to America for freedom, for peace.
So tell me about your life in America when you first came
here. I came to America when I was 6 years old. I mean, live the life of American kid, go to school, hang out, get in trouble. I mean, that's basically it. Life is like a trial in life. I mean, if you was perfect, then you'd be God. I mean, I went through my good days, bad days, but now it's all good because taking my mistake, making it better now to help people. Hopefully, to help people. Teens, little kids, whatever, to trying to walk my way of life because it's not a way to walk. It's just all bad everywhere you go.
Okay, and then you said that you are in trouble. Well, tell me about why you are going to be deported.
The reason I'm going to be deported back to my country because, I mean, because of the law changed in 96, called the Act 96, anybody who lives in America and is not a citizen, you're just a legal resident, if you commit a crime, you will be ordered deported. Aggravated felony, any such felony, now is even misdemeanor. You will be deported if you're not a citizenship, if you're not a citizen of America. Which, in fact, unfortunately, I happened to fall in that category. It was, even though I've been here since 1981, give or take about 23 years in America now, they still gonna send me back to Cambodia because I was born there. I mean, that's just being sending me back to a third world country, which I know nothing about because my life is America. I grew up here, went to the mall, went to the movie, hangouts, played sport, high school, went to college. did bad things like American, did good things America. Give or take, you do good, do bad to bad. That's just my life. Now, I'm all grown up. I mean, I look back at my lifeline. I mean, just thinking back all the things I had done. I mean, it was a long trial life. I seen so much bad things I'd done. I just disgust myself. How could I live those way? But now I found a light in my life. I just want to do good. Hopefully, if the law changed, I don't have to worry about getting deported back to my country, because every day I'm just happy to be alive. Thank God for that. But it's just on black and white on paper, because my conviction, I am already deported. Whenever they're ready for me, they just pick me up. Basically, being on removed status, like, it's kind of like your life is kind of like on roll call. It's like pick of the draw. You don't know when you'll leave. You might leave tomorrow, 10 years, 20 years. I mean, you could be doing so good, progressing good in America, having a family, having a life, having a business. When your name come up, you got to go. I mean, how can people change and do good if you don't give them a chance? I mean, with my life, I've done all bad in my life, but now I'm just trying to do good, giving back to the community. I'm just so thankful to be out here again, because all my life is just mostly incarceration. Now all I can do is just leave it up to God and just live it day by day. And as long as I'm doing good, hopefully everything will turn out good for me. Okay. The reason I'm on removal custody, because the way to get into removal, because you have to, I mean, basically, they look in your history life. You committing crimes, INS will pick you up. You have a history of crimes, INS may pick you up randomly. If you go to INS building just to check on some paperwork, because when they run your name, and it showed that you have committed crimes in the past, they have the right to put you in custody and trying to review your file, maybe trying to deport you back to your country. It's just being so unfair, because with INS, you can't really cover your past. If you interact with them, it's giving them a chance to open your file up and see what's your lifeline been. Even though stuff you've done, it's over 7-8 years. No matter what, you commit a crime back in the days, and you're not a citizen right now, they have to deport you. That's just how it goes right now. I mean, I hear stories, soft, sad stories. You just kid. I mean, a man having a family, having a good wife, good family, but stuff he done in the past, it just haunts him back, because he's trying to get a passport just to go visit his country. By doing that, an INS just took him in and sent him back to his country, which he did 7 years ago. Had a possession of firearm, which he had already served time for it. They bringing up his past because it was stuff he done had long time ago. That's just being unfair, you know what I mean? I mean, a crime was did, he did his time. If the man's living good, living abiding the law, give a man a chance to prove to the society he's good. You know what I'm saying, I mean, to me, I don't feel sorry for people if they're just constantly doing bad. They just, hey, you don't want to do good no more. I mean, that I can't call it. But to see people that just did their time and just found the light of their life, they just want to change. Let them look behind their past and let's look forward for the life in the future. You know what I'm saying. That's how INS is, I'm saying. It's basically just the luck of the draw. That's basically it. Sometimes you might go into custody for a day for a DUI. They find out you're not a citizen, you might hold you. And bang, now you're going to an honest custody hearing. Sometimes you get out unlucky. It's all in a lucky draw. Nothing is very consistent. That's all it is. I mean, I have friends that is on removal status just like me. He go to prison, did a year, then went to INS process and came back out. I mean, then I have a cousin who's been in and out. I mean, a couple months time in here, in and out, in and out. But after finishing his time, now they're trying to send him back to his country. But fortunately, he got out, but now he just got back in again for violence probation. I mean, that I can't really say. I just say, you know your boundary, you know the law, you know your policy, you know what you can do and what you can't do. I mean, you guys got to abide by the law because you're on black and white right now. Everything is being watched upon you. It's like having a watcher and having a real watcher. That's big. That's how iron is. That's how I look at iron. They're not God, but I can say it's like they're just a watcher. Anything I do wrong, they can snatch me back in, which I intend not to do anything wrong because I don't want to put my life in their hand, having the control of my life. So I just continue to stay and doing good. Hopefully, everything works for the best.
So it's in case you might not deport it?
Yeah, just in case the law changed, then everything will be all right. Because really, all you can do is wait and live your life. That's all you can do. But being on removed status as I am, what can you do? You just live your life. Whenever they call you, you gotta go. How can you hide unless you be on a run of life forever? You can't work. If you work, they know where you at.
So if they say, you know, tomorrow you'll be deported.
Yeah, you gotta go in unless you go on a run. And when you go on a run, it leads you to do criminal life again because you can't work. You can't work on black and white to show that you're paying taxes, or you could try to work for cash, live as long as you can until they caught on. But basically, I mean, that's why sometimes it just when you go report to INS, they just might snatch you in right there. Because in my process, I go report because I am removed status. They need to know where I'm at all time. That's why they call this thing called reporting to deportation officer. By reporting, they know where you're at all time. If you miss any of those reporting, they can have a warrant issue for you and try to find you. It means that you're trying to hide out from them. It means that you're trying to hide from them. They just want to know where you're at all time, basically, I'm saying. And because there's a long list for line getting deported, and now because my country is accepting people back, I mean, from my understanding, they're doing it little by little. I mean, it just your life is suspended in some way because even though you just can have a family out here, have kids, have a wife, and then doing good, whenever they call you, it don't matter you have a wife, it don't matter you have a kid, it don't matter you pay tax, it don't matter you're doing good, you commit a crime back in the days, we want to deport you. But what if a person has changed, you know what I mean? What if a person just want to live their life good, which I have proven to the world, to society. I mean, I don't got really proof of nobody. But God knows I'm doing good this day because he know what I be doing every day this day.
What do you do every day?
I mean, go to work, help giving back to the community, volunteering. Just giving back, hopefully, to avoid kids walking my lifeline. Because it's not a good issue. It's not a good life because not everybody is mentally strong or hold on when you're doing 4 or 5 years in custody and just don't be really mentally break down. Just thank God to that.
You have family?
Yes, all my family is here. I got 4 sisters now. I got nieces, nephew. Everybody's doing good. That's good. Now I have a woman, which I love, but I have no family yet.
Do you think you'll be deported or not?
I mean, on black and white, I am ordered to deport it. It's whenever they're ready for me. It's like pick of the draw. Whenever they call my name.
So what is going to happen to your family and the woman you love?
I mean, when they, what can I do? I mean, I have to go. Unless the law change. It just hurt. I mean, to me, basically, it just hurt because all my family is here and I have nobody in Cambodia. Who do I know? I mean, my loved ones here, my family's here, my nephew here, niece here, all my family's in America, in California. And I have nobody in Cambodia. Don't blame me because I was born there. Everybody's destiny is to be born somewhere, but I was born there. But now my life is in America because I grew up here. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't learn this criminal life in Cambodia. I learned this life living an American life, which you guys have, the good, the bad, the ugly. Criminal, espionage, everything. It's just every country have different things. And I learned my lifestyle in America, which I'm not trying to be bragging about. I mean, it was my bad choice in life, which I, looking back and discuss, how could I just did those things, I'm saying? I could have done it different. If I can give it back, if I go back in time, I would do it different, but that's life. Life is like a trial in life.
I'm sorry, but can I ask what kind of crime did you do?
Oh, yeah. I done all my crimes. It progressed from little things to big things, from stealing cars, stealing clothes, stealing CDs, and doing robberies. I mean, it all leads up. I mean, it just, the criminal life just keep progress into bigger things, more money. I mean, that's just my wrong choice of life. But that's all behind me now. And I don't see myself doing those things at all, even think about doing those things at all, because I'm just so thankful to just be out here, have my freedom back.
Did you serve time for those crimes?
Yes, all those crimes, I served time. Juvenile, I served time for my auto theft. And for the robberies, possession of firearm, I served time in prison. All the things I did wrong in my life, I had paid my time to society, to prison, juvenile hall. Now I just want to give them a chance to live my life again, because I see the light in my life now.
So how many years did you serve?
In juvenile hall, I did almost 2 years, and for adult prison, I did about almost 5 years, 4 years and a half, give or take. I mean, my life is just so haywire. It's going from one process to another. I mean, almost did 5 years straight in custody before I came out and still be in custody, because I'm going through all this process. It's not over. But now everything's over. Everything's all done. I don't have to worry about my past haunting behind me again. The only thing I can do is just live it day by day and just do good deeds. And I mean, anything I do bad, that's on me, which I don't plan or intend or think about doing, because all my old life history has been, it's a closed chapter of me now. Now it's a new chapter in life, the walk of life.
So did you serve all the terms and you are going to be released, and then suddenly you received a note that you might be deported? Can you explain the process?
The process with INS, right? If INS know you're not a citizen and you're a legal resident, as soon as you finish doing your time, I mean, they know you have an INS hold, because they have to take you into their custody to go through their process, because you commit a crime in America. After you finish your time for your criminal case, then you come to INS custody. Now you got to deal with them, because we commit a crime. They have to order a removal process for us to send us back to our country to be deported, because we commit a crime. Which in fact, because during that time before May 2000, INS was being INS custody is like being in a lost land because you in there with no dates, just staying there. You don't know when you're going to go home because what they had, it was called indefinite custody because the Act 96 law changed. Anybody who's not a citizen that commit crime will have to go through, will have to be held in ICE custody until my country in Cambodia or any country is ready to accept us back to our country. Which in fact, some of the countries that can't be accepted during those terms before, Cuba can be accepted, Laos can be accepted, Vietnamese can be accepted, and Cambodia. Those are the countries that don't accept people back from our country because it's a communist country. So what INS do, because they can't send us back to our country, what they do, they just hold us indefinitely. Some people were just going to do a criminal case, do a criminal time in like 6 months, end up doing INS custody time with no dates, give or take sometimes 3 years. I mean, being a system, criminal or federal or county, you have a date to go home, a projection date, something, a goal to look at, a chance to get back into society to live your life again. Being in its custody, you don't have a date. It's just based on review, it's when they're ready to let you out. How can you be in a custody with no dates? It's just like being a lifer. Come on. Going for a DUI for 6 months and then you face life in INS. That's just unfortunate because we're not citizens. But we have did our time, you know what I mean? Give us a chance back to live our life. Then that's it, man. You understand how INS work now?
Right, but I'm more interested in your case.
My case,
how has the transformation happened from the prison, your time, completing your time, and then detention by INS?
For my process is, I'm more different than people with my situation, because I committed my crime in August 95. I was sentenced either December 95 or January 96 to go do my criminal time, which is 5 years. So I go to state prison, do my time. As soon as I got out of state prison from doing my time, INS is waiting for me because I'm not a citizen. I paroled in November 1999. As soon as I got out from INS, as soon as I got out from state prison, that's my release date. See, in state prison, we have a release date, even federal, even county. That was my state prison release date, November 1999. I got out November 1999 to go to an INS custody place. Anyway, INS custody is anywhere. It could be in a county, it could be in Bakersfield, it could be in Arizona, as long as you in their custody. You're not county no more, you're just INS cold custody. But you just need to be in a incarcerated place. So they be able to find you, get a hold of you, and take you to court. To go to the court process, which is called trying to deport us back to our country because we recommitted a crime. Okay, from November to January 14, from November 99 to January 14, those are my time going to court back and forth until. Excuse me. You can't really fight the deportation act because. Basically, the judge can ask you, did you commit a crime? Was it an aggravated felony? Okay, we got to deport you back. You could spend all this money in the world. The law is the law. You commit a crime, they will deport you if you're not a citizen. So a lot of people, Cambodian, Vietnamese, or Laos, was put in a situation. The money they spent is in a lose-lose battle. You can't win. There's no way you can win. All they're gonna ask you, did you commit a crime? How can you? That's the law, you know what I'm saying? So in January 14, after going through all my court back and forth from Bakersfield, whatsoever, January 14th, I was ordered removed from the United States to go back to Cambodia. Okay, in January 14, 2000, I was already moved. But see, even though I was already moved, during that time, January 4, 2000, Cambodia don't accept people back because it's still a communist country. So which in a situation, I was in custody waiting for, hey, what happened to me now? My country, the country I was born, don't want to accept me. INS, they don't really know what to do. That's why they hold you. That's why they call you, hold you indefinitely, from 0 day to life. Thank God. Then later on, the law changed. If INS can deport you in 90 days, when you already deported in 90 days, they have to let you go. When you let you go, you're not done with them yet. You still have to report back to them. They need to know where you're at all time. It's called, they let you out, but you're still on probation with INS, which in fact, you go see them every month, and you can't miss those days. You can miss the day, they take you back in again until they're ready to deport you. That's what it is. I was already deported January 4, 2000. Then I sat there for a while. After I sat in Santa Ana for a while, now they move me. See, INS, they can move you anywhere, from Arizona to Southern California, anywhere in the world, really, because it's federal. So now they shipped me to Santa Ana. I'm in Santa Ana. Okay, I'm ready to let go from INS. Now I have an indictment from the feds. Now my custody is transferred from INS custody to U.S. Marshal custody. This is stuff I done back in the day. It's haunting me, my life. So in May 2000, I was indicted to the feds. Now they have to ship me out to Oklahoma to get me back to Northern California to face this charge, to face this indictment. So I'm going through all the process that left me INS. I'm out of INS custody, and now I belong to the U.S. Marshal custody. All this happened inside. So I'm going through the process of U.S. Marshal custody. Then, thank God, they grant my bail. I bailed out. My family put some property up to bail me out. And after I get out from U.S. Marshal, I have to go back to INS again because I'm still a U.S. INS home. Then I thank the Lord for that. As soon as I got the INS to let me out, because I backtracked the time, right? My release date was somewhere around April 2000, because it was after that January 14, 2000. They had that 90-day removal status. If they don't remove you, they're going to let you go. The law changed in April 2000. And that falling during the 90 days, they let me out. That's why the feds picked me up. Then now I'm going through all my federal custody. Then I just had finished my federal custody in February 9, 2004. All this time I was on bond on the street going through my trials. Now I can look all my life. I have to worry about my past no more. Nothing will haunt me no more, because my bad life is a closed chapter. Now my new life has begun. But which in fact I still have to worry about INS. That's just like the grand jury waiting for me whenever they're ready for me. But all my criminal life is in the past now.
So how did you feel when you served all your time and then you heard you have to deal with INS?
I feel hurt, you know what I'm saying? I mean, feel like, wow, why we gotta go through the process again? What can you do? That's the law. I mean, all we can do is feel like, what can we do? The law is the law, I mean. You commit a crime, you go to time. You commit a crime, INS. In America, you're not a citizen, you gotta go to process. I mean, put it this way, right? The reason why I look at America as being unfair with the law, look, when I was doing time, during my 4 to 5 year stretch, I would see a guy, not to be picking race, whatever, a white man will come in 3-4 times before I even got out. What, just because he's American, he can go back in and out. I mean, give us a chance to show you that we change, you know what I'm saying? That's just like, I mean, you must love it here. I mean, just being doing time, just long stretch, and seeing a man coming back on violation back and forth, but don't have to deal with INS because he's an American. But basically, I'm not saying he's a bad person. He just made some wrong choices in life, you know what I'm saying? He just like coming back 3-4 times. That's basically it. But because we are different individuals, because we're not a citizen, we have to take another step. Finish our time for our crime. Now I got to deal with INS. It's just a lot of process in life, a lot of challenge. You truly have to believe in God, everything be all right, and everything work for the best.
So where are you staying right now?
Right now, I stay in Hayward.
With my
parents right now.
So tell me about your everyday life, morning to night.
My everyday life, I work 4 days a week doing landscaping work, helping my dad out with his landscaping business. And 2 days out of the week, I'm a volunteer at the CCDI, just trying to give back my knowledge, my experience back to the community to help out the kids to walk my life.
Tell me more about what is a CCDI?
CCDI is called Cambodian Community Development Corporation. We are a nonprofit organization. We're here to help people, meaning Cambodian Community Development Corporation. It's not statistically just if we're dealing with straight Cambodian. Anybody need help in trying to, with anything, paperwork, with Social Security, trying to get your citizenship, any people that just need help, have problem reading English, we teach courses for the citizenship, because for the seniors. I mean, we basically help out all around. That's what CCDI is. Here to help out people who don't understand all this stuff will need to be done in the community with paperwork given from welfare, public assistance, disability. Just helping them fill out the paperwork, doing the right thing so won't be nothing wrong. Offer all kind of helps.
What about you? What do you do? What
do you do? I am a volunteer. I help out the seniors. I do clerical paperwork. I work with a patera with all the immigration paperwork, which I'm really like doing it because it teaches me more law about the immigration, what's really going on. I'm just trying to help them with my experience, firsthand experience, go on with their administration paperwork. I mean, to help them out. I mean, they have the administration skill paperwork, but I have the firsthand experience going through it. Anything we do to help each other out would be helpful.
And so what else do you do? You volunteer and then?
That's it. Go to work. I do landscaping 4 days a week, volunteer Tuesday and Thursday. And I do tutoring session at Oak Park once a week, help out the kids with the homework. Just doing what I can do to help give back to the community because it is in my agreement. I mean, it's not like I was ordered, but I mean, I love doing help. Just anything to help people out, I'm saying, to get in trouble, because we all live around by peers. I'm saying, it's just hopefully with my experience, I could teach them to walk the right way. I'm saying, do not walk my path, because not everybody can go through what I go through and not have really a mental breakdown, because you can. No, I don't. I just, thank God, I was just strong. So.
What about your parents?
My parents, I'm the only son, that's why I just heartache for them. They need me out here so much to help them out with the business, landscaping. My sister need me help in San Diego with a business. Of like, I'm the only man in the house. And then they need me out here, I'm saying. My family need me here in America. I mean, if it happened, what can we do? I'm saying, but hopefully, all we do is pray, and hopefully the Lord will change for the people that want to change and change their life and have a good heart in life.
Are you doing something yourself to change the law?
For me personally, I'm not doing anything to change the law. I'm just trying to help with the people with the who's working with the law, because they're doing all this iron and stick paperwork. That's why we have this deportation conference. We want to tell the public what's going on about this deportation. And I'm just doing PSI about me and my life, you know what I'm saying? Living a life, living an honest life. Just want to tell the public what's really going on, the inside and outside, because I experienced it.
Could you tell me why you committed the crimes? Tell me about your childhood or maybe...
Basically, I had no one to blame. The things I did, the wrong choice, is all me. Yes, I can't blame my friends, but what? I did that. It's the peers, it's the money, it's the fun, living the edge, fast woman, fast girl. It's fun, fast car, it's fun. Because you're around the environment. It leads you that way. It's fun, money, girls, car, then you'll eventually blend into those kind of life. Because it's free, it's fun, you have to work hard, do what you gotta do to survive. And yes, I was with them, but it was my peers, peer pressure, whatever. But really, I can't put it on nobody. I put it all on myself because I made that choice to be with them. So you know what I mean? All that lifeline, learning the life of America, living a life in America, learning my goods, my bad in America, learning the bad from my peers. When it all come down to it, it's all about Andrew. You made that choice in life. Nobody stuck a gun to you like, hey, let's do this. It was my desire at that time. It was my wrong choice in life.
How old were you at that time when you committed those crimes? Were you a high school student?
I was a high school student, just having fun, stealing car, doing stuff, living on the edge. But still going to school. Going to school and you could say me. School by day, devil by night. It's not funny, but hey, that's what it was. That's how I was living my life. Honor roll, kid by day, nightlife by life. But hey, that doesn't pay. You all have to do good. Don't mix bad with it, because bad override goods.
Do you have any last thing you try to say to other people?
All I can say with people in my situation, just all we can do is pray and hope to God that everything will change. All I can say, basically, just out there, live good, do good, and everything be all right. That's all we can hope.
If you go back to, if you are going to deport it to
Cambodia,
what is going to happen to your life?
I don't know. It's another life. It's another challenge in my life. What can we do?
Do you remember anything about Cambodia?
I have no idea what Cambodia is all about. I got here when I was 6 years old. So really, I don't know. But you could say I'm a survivor, you know what I mean? I've been there, done that. I mean, you could say I'm a survivor because I already hit my pit already. So nothing really shouldn't faze me that much, because my pit of life has already been past worry. Once I get deported, I know I can't see my family in America, but my family can come see me whenever they have time. That's when they have time. I mean, everybody got their own life to live, new families. You can't really depend on people that much.
So you don't speak
not really. It's all English in America.